Well, we've only just turned into a new year, and I turn you to the chapter that we read together, the book of Joshua, and chapter 1. And that is God's commission to Joshua, accompanied with God's promises. Promises of encouragement as Joshua and the people were to face a new situation. And that is what we are facing today. We are facing a new normal, as they call it. And in the new normal, we particularly need to have a sense of God's presence with us as we face the inevitable changes and adjustments that we must make. And if we are to carry away something, it's God's word, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And of course the book of Joshua shows us the character of the man after whom the book is named. Philip Keller put it like this about Joshua. Joshua has seldom been given the full credit that he deserves. His entire brilliant career was a straightforward story of setting down one foot after another in quiet compliance with the commands of God. So Joshua is a man who responded to God's call with straightforward, unquestioning obedience. Israel at this time are preparing to be settled into the land that God had promised to give them 500 years earlier. And soon there would be a new normal for them. After 40 years in the bleak life in the desert, better times lay ahead. But there were many things that they would have to face that they hadn't faced before. And that's like us today. We have hopes with the vaccination being made available, and I've already learned that some of you had it here, and that gives us hope. We don't know about some of the problems that may arise in society or in our own individual lives as we go into the future. We certainly know that we can't depend on scientists or politicians, but there's only one that we can completely depend on, and that is our living and trustworthy God. And committing our life to him and his care certainly will not lead to disappointment. So Joshua has a commission. The chapter begins by saying, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Well, that was a real reminder to Joshua that he couldn't look up to Moses for help anymore. He'd got to rely on God, and he'd got to remember that he'd been brought to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. You remember that lovely clause in the book of Esther, that she was reminded that she'd been brought to God's kingdom for such a time as she lived in. And certainly Joshua had been prepared for what God was calling him to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, we read that Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded. So the people will obviously have missed Moses' wisdom and leadership and example. And there are times in our lives when we very much miss some people who've been in our families, have been in our churches. They've been strong and able and gifted. They may have been praying souls who brought home more answers to prayer than we could ever know. And it makes us realise how much sometimes we miss some senior people in our congregation. I'm sure my friend won't mind, but the pastor at Pauling, a little church there, has very much missed three of his older believers in the past year. And he feels it, because he felt that they were so prayerful and reliable. And that makes us pray, as the psalmist did, "Help, Lord, for the godly are no more, the faithful have vanished from among men." And sometimes we perhaps feel like that, that we look at former generations and we look at ourselves and we feel that we know so little and we have so little courage. But God's work goes on. It's not dependent on good men like Moses. It's not dependent on those who've gone before us. All die, but God's purposes never die. God's promises never fail. He says he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so, like Joshua, we continue God's work in our generation. We're a bridge between the past and the future generation. And that's what God has called us to do in the new normal. But like Joshua, we're going to face changes. Now then, God said, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I am about to give them, give the Israelites. So for 40 years they've been travelling from Egypt, and now they were on the border of Canaan, and all that stood between them and the new land was the River Jordan. But at this moment in time that they'd arrived, it was at its highest and most treacherous level. It would have been so much easier to ford it when it was a sleepy ribbon of water. But there they were. They'd travelled all these years and all this distance to come to the edge of the land at this very month when the river would be most difficult to cross. Now that just didn't happen. God was in all of this. It was all part of his plan to bring them there. Just like where you and I are today in the circumstances of our lives. It hasn't just happened by luck or chance. God in providence has brought us into the experience of life where we are at the present time, where we worship today. There was a past that led us to be here this morning, that led us to be where we are in our present circumstances. And God had led the Israelites there to be on the border of the land with the flooding river in front of them to remind them that even in the overwhelming and difficult circumstances that we may face, God is with us with power to help us and to be with us. What the Israelites needed to remember as they prepared to cross in 3 days' time was what God told them in chapter 3. They were instructed to watch for the Ark of the Covenant and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. Look where the Ark is and follow it, because you've never been this way before. Now the Ark was the place where God met with his people. It symbolized the presence of God. Human reason might have said to the Israelites, wait for the level of the river to drop, or build a pontoon. But God said, look where the Ark, the symbol of my presence, is. And when the carriers of the ark walk into the river, follow them. Now when we face decisions and uncertainties in the unfolding year, we want to be sure to be where God wants us to be and go the way that God is leading us to go. And that's exactly what was going to happen to the Israelites. We mustn't let the floodwaters of life dictate to us. We mustn't allow the circumstances to dictate to us. We must let God's leading and direction lead us in all our decision making that we have to do in life. It may mean that we have to undo some of our own thinking and readjust to what God wants us to do, though it doesn't perhaps to human thinking seem reasonable. We may have fears to overcome. But what we need to remember is what Martin Luther once said. I know not the way he leads me, but well do I know my guide. well do I know my guide. And Martin Luther was able to stand up to all the ecclesiastical and all the secular powers of his world because he knew his guide, though he didn't know the outcome of following his guide. So the third thing that Joshua needed to remember in the new normal was to trust God. You can imagine he had a great sense of responsibility, and he was, in modern terms we might say, pretty nervous. But he had to remember that the land was God's gift. Verse 3 tells us, God said, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend to the desert of Lebanon, from the great river to the great sea on the west. So three times the Lord is saying to Joshua, I'm giving you the land. It shall be yours. God's emphatic. You see, there is this wonderful dependability about God. This is what makes the covenant Lord of the Bible so different. His word is his bond, and faith rests on his word. You know how it is when you purchase something. Perhaps you have had a new bit of kit, like I got a new camera recently. You look for the warranty. You fill in a guarantee. The maker's guarantee states the reputation of the manufacturer on it. God's reputation is staked on the guarantees that his word gives us. Christians often in days gone by had books of promises that they read every day. I hope many of us have our daily reading, a devotional book to read every day. There used to be one called the Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. Many of you, I'm sure, of the older ones have got it. It's, of course, written by Spurgeon. It's a lovely story of the old lady that some of you may have heard of. When somebody looked at her Bible, she'd marked in her Bible in some places a T and a P. And the T meant she'd tried a promise. She'd rested on a promise, believing that God was going to do it. And when she wrote a P there, she meant proved. She proved God did what he promised. And that's how we live. And God is promising to these people a plot of land. He's promising the territory now lived in by Canaanites. We are not promised by God a piece of land, but we are promised a place in a kingdom, and that's the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus once said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. What a staggering thought that is. That God freely gives to us a place in his kingdom. We have King Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour. It's freely given to those who sincerely ask. That's why this church is called Free Grace. Because God's blessings that are given to us are given freely for the asking. Do you really believe that? It's so wonderfully simple. We reach out in faith to receive what God promises to give, and he gives us. Joshua needed to believe that the land was a gift of grace to an undeserving people. But he was also to believe that the enemies would be overcome. God said, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. That was a problem to the Israelites 40 years earlier, because they didn't think they could stand up to the enemies in the land, and they wavered. And when the report came back about how good the land was, oh, they believed that all right. But when they were told that the land had well-defended cities and giants in the land, they didn't think they were strong enough to enter the land. And they discounted that God had promised to make them strong enough and enable them to possess the land that he promised to give them. Now, God is reiterating his promise that he will be with them and enable them to possess the land. They had got to act in faith, they had got to follow the ark across the river, and they had got to go in and take what God was giving them. God doesn't tell us that all the problems and difficulties and enemies we face we will be able to walk over, but we are to show a determination to possess what God promises. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 11:12 said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." In other words, if God has promised gifts, it means that we need to lay hold of them. It means that we need to be embracing what God has promised to give us, and he will make a way to enable them to have and to hold the blessings of forgiveness and adoption and preservation and eternal life. One of the great hymns that has become a classic is "Onward, Christian Soldiers." It says, "Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the Church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. Joshua and we need to trust God in this new normal that we face." But like Joshua, we particularly need God's presence. God said to Moses, to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." Joshua needed more than anything, as he faced the task of leadership, as he faced the river, as he faced the opposition that was coming, to know God saying, "I am with you." You see, the Lord had already been with him and been with Moses. God was with Moses when Moses was a little baby, preserved. God was with Moses when he grew up in a palace and had wonderful preparation for his life work. God was with Moses when he spent 40 years as a shepherd, seemingly achieving nothing, but being prepared and better equipped for a later service to God. God was with Moses when he was so reluctant to go and speak to Pharaoh, and dithered and excused himself. God was with him and enabled him to do it in the end. God was with Moses when he led the people through the desert and directed them and came through the Red Sea. God was with him. And God was also had been with Joshua when he'd been with Moses. You see, if Joshua would stop and think, God was not only saying, "I'm going to be with you, I'm already with you now." God was in his appointment by Moses. Numbers 27:18 says, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. In other words, Joshua had always already got the Spirit of God with him. God was with him when he was appointed. It was recognized. He had the anointing of the Spirit. And God would be with him in the future. His Spirit would enable him to fulfill the role that God called him to. The Lord was there with Joshua and Moses when they won that great battle and fought the Amalekites. You remember the great story of how Joshua was actually in the heat of the battle, and Moses and Aaron and Hur are on top of the hill, and Moses' hands were raised, symbolic of appealing to God in prayer. And Joshua needed to remember that. If God has answered our prayers in the past, we must expect God will be with us answering our prayers in the new normal. He is a God who hears and answers prayer, even if sometimes there's a denial or a delay. God was saying to Joshua, I will be with you like I was with Moses. And the Lord had already been with Joshua and Moses when they went up the mountain of God. You remember when Moses went up Sinai, Joshua, his assistant, went with him up the mountain of God. Joshua had already had the impact of a sense of the awesome presence of God when God was speaking. And I'm sure many of us, we may not necessarily have had a dramatic conversion from a very difficult background, but we may have remembered when there were times when we felt God really speaking to us. The message from here was just as if it was for me alone. When God's word spoke to us as if the word knew all about us. It was real. If we've become a Christian, we've had some experience of God speaking. Maybe we can recall some of these messages, some of these sermons, some of these texts, some of these experiences that have left an impact upon us. Some of us are in the situation of vowed vows, and we're still keeping those vows because God impressed something on us and spoke to us. As we face the new normal, we remember that God has been with us and spoken to us and will continue to do so. As we face a new normal, we must remember also God has enabled us to make a stand for him already. Do you remember that Joshua was one of the 12 spies, and he alongside Caleb came back with the report of faith? Yes, it's a gift of grace, it's a good land, we can get it by God's grace. The other 10 didn't believe it. People didn't believe the 2, they believed the 10. But Joshua and Caleb held fast. They made a stand. They were convicted for what was true and what was honouring to God. In the new normal, perhaps we can remember that there's been a time when we publicly owned our Lord. God has given us grace. Perhaps, though we may have been very shy and retiring, to make a stand and profess his name in baptism. And if you're a believer this morning, that should be your first step to honour your Lord by expressing your trust in him openly. You may have been able by God's grace to speak out in your family, in your workplace, in your neighbourhood, and make a stand for the Lord. Joshua had to remember that the Lord was with him then, giving him grace and wisdom to make a stand, and God will be with us in the new normal. Joshua might have been troubled by his inadequacy. He knew himself better than many people knew, and he may have feared that he might lapse, but he needed to remember that God was with Moses. Moses, great and good man that he was, made a major lapse when in passion he struck the rock that he should have only spoken to. But he wasn't cast off. God renewed him and forgave him and continued to use him. So, as we face the new normal, we go forward in faith, believing God's promises are free gifts to us, and he will enable us to overcome the unbelief that surrounds us. I think one of our major problems in knowing the presence of God is that too often we're governed by our feelings. This generation is much more touchy-feely than good old stiff upper-lipped English people have been for generations. And feelings are very often something that affect us. We may feel alone. We may feel forgotten. We may feel misunderstood and isolated. But we mustn't allow feelings to make us think differently. Faith says God is with us. Whatever feelings, whatever moods may say. And that's how we go into the new year. Acting on faith, not feelings. Just as when Paul got to Corinth and really balked almost at the difficulty of Corinth, God said, I will be with you. That's what the early disciples, the 12 apostles, had to be reminded of when Jesus commissioned them. Go into all the world and I will be with you. That's the Emmanuel principle for us to hang on to in the new normal. As Hebrews 13 says, God says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That's our comfort. But then, like Joshua, as we go into a new normal, we need God's word. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So Joshua now had the written word. It's the written word of God that ties us to God. Because it's through his written word that he speaks to us by his spirit. It's through his written word that we know all the truth we need to know about him and ourselves. Joshua was to know that word. Don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And even though the people perhaps didn't have written copies personally, that was read out to them on Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and Joshua obviously would consult it and have copies made of it for himself to regularly consult it. But Joshua was also to absorb God's word. He was to really digest it. Now, I think one of the things that can be quite challenging for us in a modern world is so many things are intrusive. The doorbell, the telephone, the text message, all these other things that go cheek cheek on your phone distract you. Meditation implies thinking and deducing things from God's word, absorbing God's word into our thought process, into our memories, into our hearts. As Jesus said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he was to obey the word in its entirety. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or the left. In other words, it's the message of the Bible. the most vital truths of the Bible that is part and parcel. Not being picky and choosy. Not having parts that we will obey and parts that we just dismiss. Joshua was to obey in its entirety. To him, I'm sure, and to the Israelites later on, God's way of overthrowing Jericho would have seemed illogical. Surely, they would undermine the foundations of the wall. Surely, they would put them under siege. God's way was march round and round. And Joshua was to obey even when things were told him that didn't seem to sit well on human logical reason. He was to be brave and obedient. But finally, God makes another wonderful promise. And like Joshua, we're to remember that we prosper if we obey. God says, if you know my word and absorb my word and obey my word, then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, I guess we all want to have a good new year. Prosperous new year, a successful new year in our lives. When God is referring to prosperity and success, it is not simply about our day-to-day lives, though it may cover that. But it's really about the Lord's blessing on our lives as we walk with him. That's what it is to have this wonderful sense of well-being and wholeness, which is a sense of God's blessing. You remember Psalm 1? Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man, I'm abridging it, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Whatever he does prospers. Now be careful how you apply that. This is not the so-called health and wealth gospel. This is not guaranteeing you, if you start up your business in the new year, it's going to go well. It's talking about, if you love God's law, you're going to be wiser than many. You're going to avoid many pitfalls in life because you have the law of God as a principle in your heart. When I was a young man, there was a Banner of Truth paperback came out by a Puritan writer called Samuel Bolton. It was called The True Bounds of Christian Freedom. And in it, Bolton says this: the law, God's commands, drive us to the gospel to be saved. And the gospel drives us to the law, God's commands, to help us how to live. And Joshua lived with God's blessing resting on his life, making him a successful leader, a successful example. And his prosperity was because he was wholehearted. Let me take you back to Numbers 14. In the discussion about the land by the report by the spies, God said, my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. I'll bring him into the land. And then he goes on to say, not one of you will enter the land except Caleb and Joshua. In other words, Joshua and Caleb were wholehearted men. In other words, they were committed and dedicated to follow the Lord. And were trusting the Lord. Wholehearted. Not half-hearted. Not dilatory. Not hot and cold. But wholeheartedly following the Lord. They face changes like we do. We don't know what the year ahead holds. But we can be sure of our God being faithful. We can be sure of the help of his Spirit. We can be sure of the plan of God unfolding in our lives. And as with Joshua, the Lord will be with us and prosper our souls. Give us that sense of well-being, that sense of peace that God's with us, that sense of joy that God loves us, that sense of confidence that faces an unknown, uncertain future. And he will help us to be strong as we face pressures. He will uphold us in looking after our young families. He will guide us to use new opportunities that arise in our congregations to serve him and be witnesses in the community. He'll be with us if we have those trying days of caring for sick loved ones. He'll be with us if we need wisdom in our life as teachers. He says, I'm with you wherever you go. But only if you go my way. Let me close with some words by the great early church theologian Augustine of Hippo. He wrote a book of meditations. It's perhaps his classic book. He said this: realize that the same Lord who renews the trees with buds and blossoms is ready to renew your life with hope and courage. God of our life, there are days when the burdens weigh us down, when the roads seem dreary, when our lives have no music in them, and our hearts are lonely, and our souls lose courage. Flood the path with light. Turn our eyes to the promise. Give us a sense of comradeship with saints of every age, and so quicken our spirits that we may be able to encourage the souls of all who journey with us on the road of life. To thy honour and glory. It's a great prayer. Augustine of Hippo. Jesus is our Joshua. He will lead us on. He will not fail us. As we follow him through 2021, he's going to be faithful. He's going to be trustworthy. And he's going to be with us. May God bless you all.